The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fishes and two fish." Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
Well, it is lovely to be back here again. Thank you for inviting me back. I love talking to people about Jesus Christ. That's what motivates me. And even before that, I got into the work with the chaplaincy at the docks and going on ships. I used to work in the building trade, and I probably spoke to the builders, plumbers and electricians and all the other tradespeople as much about Jesus as I am doing now. It's just like an overflow of my heart. And I think with the builders, I used to, I couldn't just go straight in about Jesus because it didn't mean too much to them. But we kind of used to talk about, where did we all come from and what's the purpose of life and stuff like that. And it kind of reminds me of a story that I heard a little while back of a young girl who had an inquisitive mind and said to her mum, asked her mum, "Mum, where does all the people in the world come from?" And her mum said, "Well, God created everyone. They were created in his image. They were fearfully and wonderfully made. And, God created Adam and Eve, and from there all the other people came into existence." And she said, "Oh, okay." Quite happy with that. A bit later, she thought, "Do you know what? I'm going to ask Dad the same question." So she said, "Dad, where does all the people in the world come from?" And her father said, thousands of years ago, there were apes, and those apes evolved into the people that you have today." Well, the girl was very confused, you see, couldn't understand, Mum said God created man and in his image, and now Dad is saying we've come from apes. So she really was puzzled about this. So a bit later, she went to her mum and said, "Mum, remember I asked you about where all the people came from, and you said they were that God created man in his image?" She said, "That's right." She said, "Well, I asked Dad the same question, and he said we've all evolved from apes, you see, and I'm confused." And her mum smiled. She said, "I know exactly what's happened here. You see, I've given you my family tree, your father's given you his. So, I like answering these questions. I like talking through these different things. And, I'm very interested again in this story of the feeding of the 5,000 recently. And I particularly wanted to say, before we specifically look at the feeding of the 5,000, is that lovely verse in verse 31, where the Lord says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." I found a quote, I don't know who said this, but the person said, "If you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart." And that makes perfect sense, because I grew up in a Christian family. My father is a well-known evangelist, a preacher, a teacher, and traveled all over the country, and sometimes abroad. He worked with people like Billy Graham, and was very, very good at what he did. You know, many people came to the Lord for his ministry, very gifted. The thing is with Dad, he kind of didn't know when to rest. You know, he just kept going and kept giving. And the thing is, he ended up, in my knowledge, had at least two nervous breakdowns. Because it was in the days, really, as I remember it, when in ministry you just gave everything. You just kept giving. Now, with myself, I'm as well as a chaplain, I'm a counties evangelist. And with counties, each month I have to kind of give a report of the different things that I'm doing. They ask lots of questions. And one of the things that they ask is how many 24 hours, complete 24 hours in a month, have I had off from ministry? And that's really helpful, because it causes me to kind of sit and reflect, you know, am I looking after myself? And this is one of the things that I found in kind of more recent times, is that the church is very much aware that there is a need for us to look after ourselves. The thing is, the Lord cares about each and every one of us. Is one of the things that draws me to God. It's not like God's just interested in what we can give to him. He actually cares about us as individuals. And he knows each one of us here today. He knows all about our lives. He knows about the ups and the downs. And I find that very comforting. And it reminds me of just a verse in Psalm 8, where David inquires of God. He said, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" And this is the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ, is that he cares about us. He cares about you today. What is going on in your life, the things that concern you, maybe the things that bother you, or things that you're very thankful about. God cares about you. And I wanted to kind of get that across before anything else today. You know, that the Lord is mindful of you and he loves you. Now, let's just quickly move on into the actual story of the feeding of the 5,000. See, the disciples needed rest. But the Lord had some more invaluable lessons that he wanted to teach them. And so rest would have to come later. But at the moment, the Lord wanted to teach them some different things. The first thing is, I want to get from this passage, is that the Lord really was showing them, and in turn showing us, that with our own resources, we have little to give. For the disciples, they had, what was it, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we're told that there are 5,000 men. Well, that excludes the women and the children. And commentaries would say it's probably, you're talking about maybe 15,000 people. So we thought 5,000 was a lot. Now we're looking at probably around 15,000 people. And the Lord is saying to his disciples, "Well, you feed them." You know, and they're already feeling a bit jaded, a bit worn out. And now they've got this seemingly possible task of feeding so many people. And I wanted to really kind of get across straight away is that in ourselves, humanly speaking, we have literally nothing that we can offer ourselves. We have little to give. I find it easier to get this across when you know, if I was to address a small church, because smaller churches are kind of very much aware that they have little resources. And I think that's one of the things that they struggle with. I personally belong to quite a large church, and they probably feel, maybe the leadership feels that they've got a lot to offer. But I think in ourselves, in our own strength, we have little to give. And there is good news that's going to come from this in a minute. Secondly, Jesus saw the feeding of the 5,000 not as a problem, but as an opportunity to glorify his Father in heaven. The disciples saw the problem and not the potential. You know, you can see a real difference there. They thought, well, you know, how are we going to feed so many people? So they saw the problem. And what the disciples needed to do, instead of kind of looking at their resources, you know, what can we give to feed this large crowd? They needed to determine what God's will was in that situation and to put their trust in him. Flipping it back on us again, we look at our own resources. Again, I'm very much aware, as I go from church to church, I've done this myself. We know that there's a great need out there. You know, there's thousands and thousands of people out there in our communities. They need to know the good news of the gospel. They need to know Jesus Christ. And yet we begin to look at our resources again. Who can do what? How many people have we got in church? What gifting have we got? How can we make a difference out in that community? And maybe we feel a little bit like those disciples. You know, we've got so little to give. How are we ever going to make a difference? Now, Jesus shows what happens when we put things in his hands. He took those 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. That in itself is so important, that Jesus didn't just say, right, this is what we're going to do. First of all, he fixed his eyes on God the Father in heaven. He didn't do anything else until he did that first. And in our own lives, before we do anything else, we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We need to ground ourselves in him. We need to build up that meaningful relationship in him. There's a tendency so often in churches that, well, we just got to get busy. You know, we got to be doing stuff. But actually, that is true. There are things that need to be done. But the most important thing is establishing a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what motivates me. That is what gets me going, gets me on the ships and gets me coming to churches to share God's word. So Jesus, he took that small lunch, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it back to his disciples to distribute to the hungry people. You know, the miracle happened in the hands of Jesus. Not in the hands of the disciples, in Jesus' hands. So whatever we give to him, he can bless it and give it back to us. Now, there's a guy called Warren Wiersbe, who they often quote him as a pastor of pastors. And he writes lots of commentaries and stuff like that. He said this: we are not manufacturers, we are distributors. And I find that really helpful. You know, because often we kind of feel we're trying to create the miracle. You know, we're trying to sort of, use our limited resources to impact the community around us. But actually, we distribute what God has given to us. Remember, whatever we give to him, he's the one who blesses it. He's the one that makes the miraculous happen. He gives it back to us. And we distribute it, which is why the work of the Holy Spirit is so important. You know, I went to Bible college back in the early 80s. I know I don't look old enough, but I did. And one of the things that they kind of made it clear to us throughout that, those wonderful teachings right the way through that course, is Christ in you. And I found that for me was so important. It's not me doing it in my own strength. It's Christ working in me and through me. Now, I'm not very good at any sports at all. And you could give me a book on football, which is very topical at the moment. You could give me a book on how to play football. I can read it from beginning to end. And I can almost guarantee to you that I still won't be very good at football after. What I would need is somebody like Messi or one of the, you know, Kane or somebody like that, Bellingham, to climb inside me and play through me. If that could happen, then yes, there'd be a chance that I would be good at football. And God knows that in our own strength, we have little to give. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, that's where the miracle happens. It, you know, that's where the power of God, kingdom power, works through us and make wonderful things happen. We are not manufacturers, we are distributors of God's blessing. And I know that I, in myself, putting God aside just for a moment, I know in myself I have little to give. I know that. Like I joked earlier about, you know, my accent, South Bristol, brought up in a housing estate. My dad was a great preacher. I felt very insecure. I had a terrible time at school. Went to an inner kind of council house type school. You know, it was all about fighting and stuff like that. It wasn't a place for education. I remember leaving school, walking out the school gates and thinking, well, what was all that about? You know, never learned anything apart from how to keep my head down. So I didn't, you know, get a good thump. And I felt very insecure, not good at anything. Couldn't think of anything that I could do. But Christ had already come into my life. I'd received Christ in my life. And he began to show me that he loved me. I was valued, accepted by him, not because of anything I'd done, but because of what he'd done. And so when I felt God sort of draw me into certain things, I was very much like Moses, who said, I'm slow of speech and tongue. And I just said, I can't even string a sentence together properly, Lord. You know, what can I do? I was, you know, very fearful. But Christ already showed me that it's him working in me and through me. All things are possible for those who belong to Jesus. So I began to get involved in different things. I began to share my testimony and stuff like that. Still battling with the nerves and the fear and stuff like that. But fast forward to, you know, where I am now, going on ships. And from that, I was invited to do the Thought for the Day on Radio Bristol. 70-odd times I've done that. I get scared to death initially, absolutely petrified. Doing stuff like that, preaching. Whenever I used to stand at the front, I felt like I aged 10 years. I thought, this cannot be good for your health. You know, the fear. I want you to know this, just to say, hey, I'm like you. You know, we often think people, at the front, they got it all sorted. It's just because they're confident. I am not like that. The reason why I'm able to do this sort of stuff is because Christ in me. It's to know that he loves me and he is working in me and through me. So if he can do it with me, he can do it with anyone. And which he promises to do that. When we receive his Holy Spirit into our lives, we've got everything we need to serve God in whatever capacity that might be. Can you imagine for those disciples, where Jesus said, well, you go and feed them. So they got what we got. We got five loaves, got two fish. All right, imagine they're in a bit of a huddle now. Anybody got a really sharp knife? It's got to be really sharp because we're going to have to cut these bits, these loaves and fish down into the tiniest little bits. It would have been a disaster. You know, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have fed the 50, let alone the 15,000. You know, it's ridiculous to think about it. But how often do we in church look at our resources and think, okay, what can we do? You know. And yet we should be fixing our eyes upon Jesus and say, anything's possible. You know, instead of, who's the superstars in here? Who's got all the gifting? You know, I'm not like that. God in you, Christ in you. All things are possible. And this kind of compels me to get up the front, to sort of put myself in that situation where naturally I would have said, no way, I'm not doing this. You know, because I'm going to fall flat on my face. But I love the Lord, and I believe in his word, and I believe he says that if it's, you know, his Holy Spirit is able to work in me and through me, then there's no excuse, you know, and I want to give myself to him. You know, I belong to him. And that's the same for each one of us here today. We, in ourselves, have little to give. So we can kind of get that one out the way. But with Christ working in us and through us, all things are possible. And I've particularly found this encouraging again recently, because I know I've got little to give. I know it. But it's about giving what I have to Jesus. Here I am, you know. And, you know, often now when I again coming to speak somewhere, or maybe when I'm going on a ship and feeling a little bit vulnerable, I can say, Lord, here's my 5 loaves and 2 fish. I gladly give it to you. Work through me, enable me to do what you want me to do. I'm distributing what God has given me. And that's the same for every one of us here today. If you belong to Jesus, then you have Christ in you. If you don't have Jesus in your life, today's a good day to say yes to him. Invite him in. That forgiveness, that sense of belonging. You know, I always felt when I was younger, you had to kind of work your way up the system in church to be somebody. So you were noticed. And it's all rubbish. When you accept Jesus into your life, it's, you know, God loves you fully and completely. You know, there's no more to do in that respect. What there is to do is to say, Jesus, I give my life to you. From this day forward, like the Apostle Paul says, we make it our goal to please him. That's what we do. But actually, when it comes to value and having what it takes to be a Christian who's able to reach out to others, God has given you everything you need. We just need to, you know, give our lives to him. Now, as I draw to a close, so the landing lights are on, and that's probably woke up a few of you already. The disciples still haven't fully got it. All right, I'm sure when those 12 basketfuls of bits of bread and fish were collected, they must have think, what? This is amazing. Do you remember what we had? Yeah, it was 5 loaves, 2 fish. Now we've got 12 baskets full, and thousands of people have been fed. They must have been buzzing. I don't think tiredness at that moment in time was a problem. I think they were, you know, elated, and this was amazing. All right. But if you were to carry on reading in Mark 6, you come across the story of where Jesus walked on the water towards his disciples who were in a boat. And that must have been pretty amazing as well, mind-blowing. But it says they were completely amazed. That's the disciples. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Now, I think, like even today, hopefully through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is reminding you, you've got everything you need. You might think, oh, what can I give? I'm not very good at anything. And I'm not very gifted in that. God is saying, if you belong to me, you've got everything you need. All right. And for a moment, you might be thinking, yeah, that's right. And then you go out through the door and you're halfway down the road and you're thinking, I can't do that. I can't make a difference. You know, I know me, I'm not very good at things and all the rest of it. We got to guard against our hearts being hardened. I don't believe it. You know, I know I can't do it. You don't know me, Steve. You don't know, you know, what I'm like. I don't know you, but I gave you an opportunity today to understand a little bit about me. I am, you know, I came out of school with nothing. I battled with a sense of not being good at anything at all. I understand where you're coming from. I'm kind of getting alongside you here. I have empathy for you. But what I'm saying is fix your eyes upon Jesus. Believe when he says, through the power of his Holy Spirit, you can do all things. There's amazing. It may be not nothing like what I'm doing, but there will be something unique to you. You're created by God for a purpose and a reason. You are special in every way. And if you don't feel it, just ask the enemy. And he's done it to me many times. I tell him to clear off, you know, because I want to believe in what Jesus is saying about me and what he's saying about you. He loves you. You are special. And there's something that you can do through the power of his Holy Spirit. And that is it today. I want you to be able to leave this building holding on to that word. Don't let your hearts be hardened. You know, God wants to use you. And maybe directly within the church or maybe in your place of work. I don't know. Whatever it is. But just say, here I am, Lord. I want to distribute what it is you've got to give me today. And put yourself out there. Don't put yourself down and say, I can't do anything. I haven't got any gifting. If Christ is in you, you've got what it takes. Guaranteed. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And be encouraged today. God cares about you. He loves you. You're special to him. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this passage again. Thank you for the reminder that in ourselves we have little to give, but through you, Jesus, we can do all things. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come into this world to enable us to live lives which are pleasing to God. Lord, I pray that today you would stir up our hearts again. Particularly, Lord, for those who keep putting themselves down, Lord, if they do belong to you, encourage them. Strengthen them. Show them that they can do wonderful things through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we not harden our hearts again, but trust and believe in you, in your precious name. Amen.